is a great reminder of who God is, because that's what our message is about, in his characteristics and being a faithful God, season after season, year after year. And so our purpose today is to look at who God is and to be reminded of that, as well as to look ahead. So you see on the screen the state of the church. I'm not a political diplomat, so no speeches like that today, but we're going to look to God's Word. But first of all, it is that time of year when people make New Year's resolutions. So how many of you do New Year's resolutions by raising your hand? Anybody? Okay. The rest of us is kind of like, I fail at them, so why bother feeling bad about myself? Right? Hey, we've got an amen in the back there, a silent amen. Well, just for interest's sake, I found a list on a website called statisticbrain.com. The top 10 most common resolutions. We could probably go around the room and name these, but this might be of interest to you. Number one was lose weight, right? The fitness industry really kicks up this time of year. Getting organized. Another one is spend less and save more, especially after Christmas, right? Enjoy life to the fullest. Another one is staying fit and healthy. A sixth one would be learn something exciting. That's pretty specific, isn't it? Learn something exciting. Quit smoking. Help others achieve their dreams. Number 9, fall in love. And number 10, spend more time with family. So pretty typical. We probably could have guessed those and come up with our own list, but here's what people come up with pretty much every year. Now, I think the reason that people come up with resolutions at the new year is because the new year is sort of a mental opportunity to either hit the pause button and reevaluate, have I been living my life the way that I'm supposed to, or in the world's eyes, the way that I want to, or it gives you an opportunity to hit the reset button, at least mentally, that, hey, I've been going in the wrong direction, I'm going to put on brand new habits in the new year. So what we are going to do today is we're not reevaluating. We are just hitting the pause button to be reminded of who God is and what he wants from us as his children. I don't think we need a reset as a church. We just need to pause and say, okay, here's our commitments and here needs to be our priorities. Another word for resolutions is priorities. I'm going to prioritize this in the new year, or this midway through the year, whatever it may be. It's a priority. And so I'm going to use the word priorities today rather than resolutions as we look to Scripture. So please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to be studying today verse 20 through chapter 4, verse 6. We're going to break it up into two chunks, and we'll read those two pieces together. But that's going to be our main scripture for today. So from this passage, we're going to see three priorities for you, for me, as individuals, as well as corporately as a church. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. It's on the screen. I'd love for us to lift our voices and read that on this, read this on our New Year's Day. So let's read together. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. All right, thank you for reading Scripture together. As you might guess, the top priority for us as individuals, as well as us as a church, is to glorify God. This is our priority numero uno. Number one, glorify God. So let's look at this scripture together. We'll go through phrase by phrase here and see what it means. You'll notice the first three words says, now to him. The Apostle Paul, who's writing the book of Ephesians, did not say, now to me, the super apostle, be all glory. No, no. He understood what his life was all about. He understood the focus of life. He understood the focus of creation. Now to him, that is God, now to God. So we ought not to be people who are glory seekers. We ought not to be people who exalt ourselves. We are to be people who exalt God and humble ourselves, knowing our place. We are finite, limited people. Our abilities diminish over time. God is infinite. His ability is to its maximum potential at all times. His characteristics are perfect in every generation and from eternity past into eternity future. I love what Psalm 115, verse 1 says. It gives us a really clear reminder. It says, not to us, screen please, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness and because of your truth. So not to us as the Israelite people, not to us as an apostle, Paul is saying, not to us as believers here at Findlay, Ohio in 2017 now, but to God, to him be the glory. I think this is a good warning for us at the very outset. The warning is this: a ministry that has its own glory as a top priority is in trouble right from the start. Men rise and fall. Leaders come and go. They blow away like the leaves in the fall time. But God's glory and Jesus as the head of the church remains forever. And so whatever leader stands up in front of a group of believers will expire eventually. But Christ as the head of the church is always on the throne. And so we ought to give him glory. Ministry begins with God. It is sustained by God. And its end purpose is God. And so everything we do needs to be for the glory of God, to put the focus on him. Look again in your Bibles. It says, now to him who is able, the one who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. You can hear that language stacking up on top of itself, right? God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Now, this is really interesting. I learned this week. There's this language, again, that gets stacked on top of one another to really add emphasis to the ability of God, to the unlimited ability of God, the supreme being, Yahweh, the God of Israel. Far more abundantly means this, and I took this from one of the Bible dictionaries I consulted this week. This phrase, far more abundantly, it's actually one word in the original language. It means to an extraordinary degree, involving a considerable excess over what would be expected. So another way to translate it would be super abundantly beyond. You get what you need, and then it just keeps coming and coming and coming. God is able in an adequate sense, but he's more able. He's abundantly able to do whatever he wants and whatever he wants for our lives. So kind of in an attempt to capture the inexhaustible ability of God, we can put it like this. If you show this picture on the screen, we might expect, if we're putting a garden together, we might expect a wheelbarrow full of dirt. That would suffice. Maybe doing some flower pots. But God is able to back up the semi-dump trailer, and you can hear it in your brain. Beep, 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 beep. And, you know, it goes up in the air. And if you were standing behind that semi, you would see there's all this dirt at the top, and it would come sliding out, and that truck would even have to pull forward to keep the dirt coming out. And so that's my attempt to try to illustrate the super abundant, more than beyond ability of God. This is why we give him the glory. All human leaders are frail. All are limited. All will hit a wall, but God never does. He is more than able, more than capable, super abundantly beyond in his ability and in his power. Think of the song we just sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, all the seasons, sun time, winter, and springtime, and generation after generation after generation. How long have you been around? How long have I been around? Certainly not generation after generation. God is eternal. He is able. He's the sustainer and creator. So God is able, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. What's the power that works within us? Is it the strength we will gain with our New Year's resolution of going and working out? We're going to gain more strength? No. The strength that he's speaking of here is the Holy Spirit. So if you'll look in your Bibles up into chapter 3, verse 16, and just a little quick teaching tip here, one of the best interpreters of the Bible is the Bible. So for instance, this week in my study, I was thinking, what is the power that's going to work within us? So I thought about going to some other passages, and I just glanced up to verse 16. I thought, oh, just a few verses before it, there's the interpretation. So when you're looking in the Bible, first of all, start by looking in the Bible to help figure out what's in the Bible. So chapter 3, verse 16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power. How? Through his Spirit in the inner man. And so when we talk here about according to the power that is at work within us, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. When we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, God puts his very presence in us, the Holy Spirit, God, living inside of us. This guarantees our redemption, this guarantees our inheritance in heaven, but he also is here to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. So hopefully, in actual practice, you look more like Jesus today than 16 years ago. Okay? That's part of the Holy Spirit's job. He's changing you. He's changing me. So the power that is at work within us. But I also think, this is a valid point too. God partners with available and obedient people to accomplish his work. God can use disobedient, stubborn people, yes. But most often what we see happening is people who are yielded to him. We spoke of this on Christmas Eve, if you were here. Mary and Joseph, a wonderful example of people who were obedient and available. They didn't know everything at the very beginning, but they said, Lord, I will allow you to do your plan in my life and through me. I love what, I told you this back on my sabbatical, I read a biography of D.L. Moody, who was an evangelist in the 1800s in the Chicago area as well as throughout the world. But there was I read this quote about him. There was a person who looked at Mr. Moody, and then he looked at the work and the effects of Mr. Moody's ministry. And here's what he said to D.L. Moody. He said, I told Mr. Moody that the work was most plainly of God, for I could see no real relation between him and what he had done. He laughed cheerfully, Mr. Moody did, and said he should be very sorry if it were otherwise. I love that. Sir, I see no real relation between you and the work here. This work is most plainly of God. In my first Sunday here, September 12th, 2010, I preached a message out of Exodus chapter 33. And I said that was one of the goals, that people would look at this church, especially the senior pastor, and say, there's no real relation between him and the work that goes on there. And I think that should be the goal of all of us as leaders, all of us involved in ministry, all of us as Christians, that to him be the glory. Because when the world looks at what's going on in the ministry and they say, wow, God must be at work because I know you and you're not that capable. I think that's a glorious goal for us to have, that the glory goes back to God. Notice also, though, as we talk about glorifying God, that to him be the unending glory. And so if you look there at the last part of verse 21, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever, so be it. Amen. And so what you have here is, again, stacking up of language that from eternity past into eternity future, all the glory goes to God. Now, what is glory? Glory is used a couple of different ways in the Bible. Perhaps primarily, it's the majesty of God and his very presence. This is why whenever you see a manifestation of God, you see light. His glory is light. It's his magnificent presence. Especially in the book of Revelation, you think, you know, there's no need for lights in heaven because the glory of God shines throughout the entire city of the New Jerusalem. And so that's one way that glory is used. But in this particular context, glory is being used as honor, reverence, awe, worship, praise. The glory belongs to God. To him be glory, to him be praise and honor and worship because of who he is. I think that's what's happening here. So all of the credit for his lavish grace, for his immeasurable love, for his abundant mercy shown to us in salvation, all of that deserves honor and glory and praise. So all that God accomplishes in the church through his Spirit, all that he has accomplished for us in Christ Jesus is so magnificent that eternal, unending honor and praise does not exhaust the glory that he deserves. You see that? And so an eternity of praise still doesn't take us to the end of what he deserves because of all that he's done for us in Christ Jesus. And so as we think about what is our priority as a church, the glory of God, the honor of God, not the honor of men. The honor of men is just so sickening. It lurks in our hearts. You see it everywhere. Television, celebrities, athletics, music. It's everywhere. Look at me. Look at now. It's not about you. You're a shadow. I'm a mist that is here today and gone tomorrow. But God is eternal. And so all glory and praise belong to him. That's our top priority, church. The second priority is to pursue selfless unity. So we're going to read again together. Now this time, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So it's on the screen if you'd like to read it off of there. So let's lift our voices and read together. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. The second priority, pursue selfless unity. Selfless unity is one of the core values of our church. Now, we could list a bunch of priorities today, but the scripture here focuses it on these particular two. The glory of God and to pursue selfless unity. We are called here in verse 1 to live worthy. Live how we ought to live. Why? Well, in my study this week, and here's another study tip, whenever you're studying a particular passage, make sure you look at everything that came before it. So what that meant for me this week, as I read through, as I was studying this passage, I read the entire book of Ephesians, especially paying attention to what was before it. So in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, all leads up to the therefore in chapter 4, verse 1. So here are just some highlights for you. Okay, you don't have to watch the whole game, you can just watch the highlights. So in chapters 1 through 3, we learn that we are chosen of God, adopted into his family, redeemed, forgiven by the blood of Christ. We've been united with Christ. We've been made alive together with him and seated with him in the heavenly realms. God has showered his grace, his mercy, and his love upon us. And so because of that, therefore, church, therefore, Christian, live a life worthy of this calling. God snatched you out of the fire. He took you and me from my life of futility and wandering and purposelessness. And he gave us a new identity as his redeemed, adopted child. In light of that, live worthy, he's saying. And so part of that living worthy is to live in unity with other believers. Being a Christian is not an individual sport. It's not like being a track athlete. It's more like being on, 500 football teams. All these people around, we're all part of the same team. But unity does not come easy, does it? Some of you experienced that at the Christmas supper table. Unity does not come easy. But in the body of Christ, Living in unity is a way that we display the glory of God to the world. John chapter 17, Jesus prays, God, I pray that they will be one as we are one, so that the world may know that you sent me. And so love and unity are a witness to the world. Not only are they proper for Christians, but it's a witness to the world. Now, because we are sinful people, I have selfish desires. Pastor Blair, I never would have thought that of you. Well, I'm human. You have selfish desires. I have preferences. You have preferences. And so sometimes those preferences collide. And so as sinful human beings, we have to have a higher calling of God's priorities instead of all of our preferences. Also, we have an enemy who wants us to sow discord, an enemy who wants us to lie and to cheat just like him. And that brings disunity, and it's an affront to the glory of God. So unity takes hard work. That's why the scripture says, be diligent. Work hard at this, because it's not going to come naturally or easily in all situations. So how do we achieve unity? Well, he gives us some characteristics here, the characteristics of Christ that we are to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. One of them is humility. Now I'm in verse 2. Humility. Why humility? Well, remember what chapter 3 said, all the glory goes to God, not you. Last time I looked, the nameplate on your desk at work did not say God. It had your name on it. It had my name on it, not God. So the glory belongs to God. In the words of Ted or Paul Tripp, don't be a glory grabber. Get your hands off the glory. Be humble. Be a servant, just like Jesus showed us. Another one is be gentle. Be kind rather than harsh with one another. Harsh with our words. Harsh with our actions. No, be kind. Be gentle. Treat things as delicate rather than being forceful. Be patient. Be long-suffering. Let's not be short with one another. Let's not be irritable. Let's not be quick to dismiss somebody because they're not doing it the way we want them done. If I'd have done it myself, we could have done 5 minutes ago. No, let's be patient. Let's be patient. Tolerate one another. Translation, put up with each other. No, seriously. Put up with each other. Bear with one another. We all don't do things the way that we would prefer. So you have to allow for some legitimate differences that really don't make that big of a difference in the end anyway. So bear with one another. Tolerate one another. And all this is to be done in love. Love is seeking the good of others above our own, which is exactly what Jesus did, right? So this is how we maintain unity, by putting on these characteristics of Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to work these things in us. Have you ever thought about the miracle of unity in a church? Think about it. How can a church filled with sinful people, redeemed, but still influenced by the presence of sin in life, with all of our diverse personalities, with all of our diverse preferences, with all of our diverse experiences in life and how we think things should be done, and all of that, it's a miracle that there's unity. What binds us all together? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit says, get your mind off of just these selfish things that you want and be about heavenly priorities, not earthly priorities. And so our eyes need to be drawn above just worldliness and up into eternal priorities, which is what verses 4 through 6 is all about. So here are 7 priorities that we are to be about. I'm just going to touch on them briefly. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. One body, that's the church, the worldwide church. So believers in Nigeria and believers here in America are all on the same team. Isn't that wonderful? Across this world today, there are believers in Jesus Christ, who've been redeemed, just like you and me, who are worshiping him. That's wonderful. We're part of a worldwide corporation. God has gone global, and we're all in one family. One Spirit, the Holy Spirit who brings us into the body of Christ. One hope, that is that Jesus Christ will bring all things into submission to him, and he'll pass that over to the Father, eternal life. He will come back. There will be one king on the throne. And everyone will know it. One hope of eternal life. One Lord, that's Jesus Christ. One faith, that is putting your faith in Christ. One faith in Jesus Christ. One baptism, water baptism into Christ. We are baptized into Jesus Christ. Some people take that as baptized into the Holy Spirit or baptized by the Holy Spirit. It could be, but it seems more favorable to take it as one baptism into Jesus Christ through water baptism. And then one God and Father, who is the sovereign and omnipotent God. He's the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So he encompasses everything. He's the supreme being. So here's the point. If you want to get fired up about something around here, get fired up about one of those seven priorities. If you're upset because the toilet paper roll was put on the wrong way in the bathroom, your priorities are out of whack, okay? These are what we should get fired up about. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one spirit, one hope, one God and Father. So our church has enjoyed God's unity over the past 30 years. And by and large, we've majored on the majors and minored on that which is minor. So when we, and this is for all of us, including myself, when we are tempted to push our own agenda in the church, we need to ask, is this one of God's priorities or is this just a preference of mine? If it's just a preference, you can still present it, but just make sure it's presented in a tone that it's understood that this is a preference and something to consider rather than a priority of God. I want to remind us of our mission as a church, and here is our mission. It is to glorify God. That's good that that's at the beginning of the statement, isn't it? By making disciples of Jesus Christ who are rooted deep with God, rooted deep with one another, and reaching wide into the world. So these top two priorities this year, the glory of God and pursuing selfless unity, which rallies around these eternal priorities, not just personal preferences. Okay, let's move on to a third priority now, and this is about participating with God in his work. And what we're going to do in this is we're going to celebrate what God has done, we're going to anticipate what he will do, and then we're going to learn how we can participate in his work. And so let's talk about celebration. So last year, I went through some files and some information this past couple weeks, and I think, first of all, we should celebrate spiritual growth in our church. We're about growing people spiritually into the likeness of Christ. The Holy Spirit does that through us, obviously. So here's a couple of indicators. Last year, we had 32 baptisms, which is wonderful. Baptism is a big deal. Baptism is a person coming out publicly and saying, I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I want to be known as his, and all that that entails, good and bad, as far as the world is concerned. We had many people sharing their faith, and through our Going Viral series, people stepping out, inviting someone to church, talking to them about their relationship with God. A lot of other people stepping up to serve Christ. Quick example, I think of some people in our family group last year who now have left to go lead their own family group. This is neat. This is multiplication. They were in a group, younger believers now being built up in their faith, and when they say, hey, I think you could lead a group, they prayed about it and they said, yeah, we're going to get the training and we're going to go lead a group. That's spiritual growth, people stepping up into a point of leadership. So we can celebrate what God has done through spiritual growth. We can also celebrate what God has done through the building of our Lighthouse campus. We're talking about the physical building right now. So I was talking to Pastor Fritz in the last couple weeks. He said that over 2,000, or approximately 2,000 volunteer hours have been given for the build-out. Isn't that amazing? So men and women have gone there during the day or in the evening or both and turned that long, open banquet hall into a wonderful building that's usable for this particular type of ministry. Also, 110 people attended the service on Christmas Eve, which is wonderful. 4 people indicated receiving Christ. And so there's a picture from the Christmas Eve service. And so, isn't that great? So you open the doors, and obviously this is a sign from God that's saying, hey, okay, this is a viable ministry. And we look forward to the new year also. Another thing I think we can celebrate around here is leadership. Leadership. I personally am very thankful for our elders and pastors, deacons, staff members, volunteer leaders, the Lighthouse launch team leaders, as well as the Lighthouse launch team itself. And it's a privilege to work with all of these people and to putting our shoulder to kingdom work, things that will last forever into eternity. It is a high privilege. I'm thankful for people around me who compliment my weaknesses and fill in the gaps, of which I've got a few. And so it's wonderful that where I'm strong, I can help them, and where I'm weak, it's part of the body of Christ. God arranges the parts of the body just as he desires. I'm very thankful for that. I think of some new staff members we've added in the last year. Holly Lockhart is our preschool ministry assistant. She's diligent. She works hard, is doing a wonderful job. Jenny Anderson came on as our interim worship director, and we all were benefiting from her leadership week after week. Pastor Fritz Below came on as our campus pastor back in September, and he's done a wonderful job leading with his teams of people. And then Pastor Stephen Morgan, who you saw this morning again, and he's our worship pastor. So we're very thankful for each one. Now, I've just been pondering this and giving thanks to God for this, that we should give thanks for people who say yes to God and who say yes to serving Jesus Christ full time. You know, much of the world looks at people who serve Christ full time as, sorry about your life. But it is a high and holy privilege to serve the King of Kings. And so for people to say yes to God, they're saying no to something else. And much of the world goes after that something else because it's too much for them to give up to serve Christ. And so we should give thanks to people who say yes to serving Jesus. And so we should celebrate the people who lead in this church. A fourth way is outreach that we have seen God work in a wonderful way. I think of our Christmas giving projects over the years. That's been really wonderful. God provided last year enough money for 10,000 Bibles for persecuted Christians through Voice of the Martyrs. And I've got this update from Sandy at Voice of the Martyrs in the last couple weeks. This is part of their Bible distribution, not necessarily our Bibles, but they allotted $8 million last year for the distribution of Bibles worldwide. So our donation towards that has been used up, which is wonderful. So there's a Bible distribution in Nepal. And so you see they didn't have a big box truck that they were delivering those in. And in Pakistan, you see these young believers receiving a children's Bible that they can grow in their faith and be strengthened there. And so we joined with other Christians throughout the world to help build the kingdom. Also this year with our Echo Ranch Bible Camp Chapel that we're donating towards, this is important too, and we're going to be doing the reveal next week of how much God provided through that. But you think about that, the chapel building, kids are coming, even adults, they have camps that come for adults also, and they're going to come, they're going to worship Christ. The gospel is going to be proclaimed from that stage, and people are going to receive Christ, believers are going to be built up. Significant decisions about life will be made in that chapel building. Kids who say, Lord, I want to serve you with my life. And so we are, in any of these projects, we are donating to provide physical items. Yes, a gospel radio for Haiti we did a few years, a water well, the city mission, that went to help provide food, provide a building. But what we're doing is providing things and places for the gospel to be proclaimed. And that's what should get us excited because those are kingdom priorities. Also, as far as outreaches are concerned, just very quickly, God has done wonderful things through mobile food pantries and Easter dinner box giveaways, Vacation Bible School. We even had sports camp this past year. Our youth went down to Challenge Conference in Louisville, Kentucky. We had a veterans lunch right in here where the gospel was shared and people learned about God's love. We had a battery giveaway, part of the Lighthouse outreach in showing people God's love in a practical way. Even in here, we had the Operation Christmas Child shoebox giveaway. 1,800 boxes were packed there. And Nelson Randolph stuffed every one of those, or almost every one of those, in his big red truck that he travels across the country in. And so all of this is about proclaiming the gospel of Christ. One Lord, one faith, right? How can we get the good news out? Because we're going to spend somewhere in eternity longer than we are here. And so it's important to get people ready for heaven. And so those are some what God has done through outreaches. Think also and celebrate what God has done through Scripture. We went through the series Going Viral on the book of Acts. I love the series. I don't know if you loved it, but I loved studying it and preaching it and being challenged by it. We learned we can join God in his work by speaking the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. We went through the book of 1 Peter. We were challenged to stand firm in our faith through the trials of life, which are many, not only just, you know, health issues or circumstances that come up, but outright persecution that the believers were facing in Peter's day and have throughout the millennia, and we're facing in our day and will in an increasing measure. And so God has fed our souls through Scripture. Also, a little bit later on, we're going to have baptisms in our second and third service. Emma Garver is going to be baptized. Brandon Ewing is going to be baptized. And David Swartz in our third service will be baptized. So that's exciting. You got people at the new year saying, I want to tell everybody that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. So we celebrate what God has done. Also, we anticipate what God will do. So looking ahead here just into the near future, as much as my vision will allow me to, right? Our Lighthouse launch. Services are set to begin January, February timeframe. And so we're going to be having the regular Sunday services there. This is an outreach effort for us to be able to, yes, build up believers, but also to reach a new group of people in Findlay who are maybe more comfortable coming to that particular location because it's on the west side of town or just because of how the building looks. And so we want to make it clear that Lighthouse Campus is not a cookie cutter of Heatherwood Campus. And by the way, this is Heatherwood Campus because this road out here is Heatherwood. Okay? So when we say Heatherwood and Lighthouse, that's what we're talking about. But it is important, as we talked about unity today, we are one church in two locations. And so let's show unity as we work out all of the new situations that we're going to encounter in this new adventure of being a two-campus church. Okay, so that's where we get to show unity and humility with each other. Also excited about and anticipating what God will do through equipping. Part of our goals this year is to equip you. To be equipped means you're going to be trained. You're going to be made adequate for the task. So we're going to give you the equipment, the training that is needed to be a maturing disciple of Jesus Christ. So that's what's part of our Explore curriculum in the community groups starting January 15th. We have a Mission Revolution conference that's scheduled for February 18th through 19th. We did this last year, and now we have a new workshops, and so it kind of builds on each other. So if you came last year, this is step number two. And so that'll be February 18th, 19th, so learning more about missions and God's heart for the world, that's exciting. On April 1st, we've scheduled a discipleship seminar by a very famous pastor, Scott Tinman. You may have heard of him. He's our youth pastor. But he's been trained by Sun Life Ministries in discipleship. And so let's use one of our own who has been trained in this. And so you'll have that opportunity to learn how to disciple another person. And then we're looking at having a men's workshop in the summertime also to help us as men to grow in our faith in Christ. A couple other things here. I know I'm throwing a lot at you, but I'm anticipating a lot. So Pastor Dave is training people in one-on-one discipleship. So if you're a across the table at Panera kind of a guy or kind of a gal, you can have the opportunity to take someone and mentor someone in the faith. Talk to Pastor Dave. Pastor Dewey is training people in group discipleship, family groups, community groups, and all of that. So this is what we're anticipating God doing this year through our Lighthouse Campus, as well as equipping and opportunities to be trained. And then thirdly, here's what we can do to participate in what God is doing. Okay, so I've thrown a lot at you today, but I'm going to give you now three specific things that you can do. And if you've not, some of these you might already be involved in, but here's three specific things. So participating in what God is doing by being rooted deep with God, here's how. We have provided a one-year chronological Bible reading plan. So I knew this was coming, so I started already a week ago, if that's okay. But it starts today. And we're going to read through the Bible this year chronologically. And the plan is on our website. We also have paper copies at the Connection Center. It's about 3 to 5 chapters a day. If you fall behind, don't worry. The main point is just to be in Scripture on a daily basis, okay? So reading through Scripture together. So that's how you can be rooted deep with God this year. I find that many Christians haven't actually read through the entire Bible. They've read sections, they've heard sermons, but reading it cover to cover is really important. All right, secondly, being rooted deep with one another. Here's a specific thing you can do. If you are not already in a discipleship group, community group, family group, maybe a men's or women's group, get involved in one. I would recommend to you, as two easy ones, get involved in a community group on Sunday mornings. You come, and you go to a community group, then to a service, or vice versa, and it's a great way to meet people, to learn the Bible, to be prayed for, as well as pray for others. Also, if you're interested in a home-based Bible study, you can get involved in one of our family groups. So see Pastor Dewey Harris, and he'll get you connected in one of those. And then lastly here, reaching wide into the world. Obviously, the Lighthouse is a great opportunity to reach a new group of people, and so many people are involved in that already. But here's a specific thing that we can do. Starting January 15th, we're preaching a new series called We Have Issues and God Has Answers. And so part of it is, you know, we all struggle with different things, anger, doubt, assurance of salvation, whatever it be. We're going to take 9 weeks and look at those different, what the Scripture has to say about those different issues that we face. And so the challenge is, who could we invite? All right, so here's where I want you to get involved at right now. I would like to do something. I want everybody here to move to the middle sections. Okay, so I want you to physically get up. If you're on the end of the row, if you're physically able, if you could kind of squeeze towards the middle. And those on the outside, I want you to come into these middle sections here, please. If you're not physically able to move, that's okay. Just let people pass by, okay? Lots of seats here. So move on into the center sections. Maybe a New Year's resolution for you is to sit in a different spot in church. I thought about that too. I sit here and here. I should just sit in different places on a Sunday. Okay, the reason I'm doing this is because now I want you to look around at the empty sections. Okay, look around. Now, I realize this is January 1st, so there's usually more people here. But the point is this. We have a lot of empty seats in this worship center, not just in the first service, but also in the second and third service, since we've gone to three services. So as we think about a series like this, we've got issues and God has answers. Which friend, family member, coworker, or neighbor could you invite to come with you to church? We have room. We got room for a lot of people. Who could we invite to come with us to hear what Scripture has to say about the problems that we face on a daily basis? Because God's Word sheds a lot of light on all of the common problems that humans face. And so that is our challenge. Who can we invite as we reach out into the world to help fill these seats in 2017? And we want to do all for the glory of God. All right, let's stand together. And to end today, we're going to read our mission statement, and then I'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Okay, so let's all lift our voices and read this mission statement, starting with to glorify. To glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ, who are rooted deep with God, rooted deep with one another, and reaching wide into the world. All right, let's pray. God, it's been fun this morning to look to your Scripture, as well as to just dream about what you want to do in our midst in the year ahead, but also to say thank you, because you really have blessed this church family. You are the God of all. You're the God of bringing people to trust in Jesus. You're the God of spiritual growth. You're the God of providing for our needs. And so we want to glorify you and honor you, give you the respect and awe that you deserve. Help us, Lord, to be a church that is focused on the main thing, which is to glorify you, and that our priorities would be your priorities. And Lord, if there are priorities that we have which are in misalignment with who you are, would you rebuke us and let us have hearts that are willing to redirect our energies. So we are so thankful for who you are. And we're humbled that you would speak to us through your Scriptures and speak to us through the Son, your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless each of these today. And we pray, God, for a year of ministry when you will do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thank you, church. God's blessings.